From the studios of Books in Motion, this is John Huff reading the third and final book in the Temuris Trilogy by Alan Cole, The Gods Awaken. O threats of hell and hopes of paradise, one thing at least is certain, this life flies, one thing at least is certain, the rest is lies. The flower that once has blown forever dies. I sent my soul through the invisible, some letter of that afterlife to spell, and by it returned to me to answer, I myself am heaven and hell. Heaven but the vision of fulfilled desire, hell but the shadow of a soul on fire. Cast onto darkness into which we, so late emerged, shall so soon expire. From the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, Edward Fitzgerald Translation. Part 1. Serapis. Prologue. Escape to Serapis. And so they flew away on bully winds, blowing all the way from far Kyrenia. It may have been the strangest and saddest voyage in history. The people of the clouds mourned the loss of their leader, Safar Temura, who had guided them over thousands of miles of mountains and deserts and spell-blasted black lands to the shores of the great Sea of Esmer. A paradise awaited them across that sea, the magic isle of Serapis, where they would make their new home far away from the evil beings who had driven them from their mountain village in Kyrenia. Safar Temura, the son of a potter who had risen to become a mighty wizard and grand vizier to a king, had sacrificed his own life so that his people might escape. And now, 1,000 villagers were packed aboard a ragtag fleet of privateers, sailing to Serapis in safety. High above them, a marvelous airship flew over the silvery seas, pointing the way. For many days and weeks, the skies remained clear, the winds steady, and at any other time there would have been cause for a grand celebration, a feast of all feasts, with roasted lamb and rare wine, playing children and sighing lovers. The world should have been a bright place, full of promise and joy. After months of terror, the Kyrenians were free of Iraj Proteris and his ravening shape-changers. But hanging over them was the demon moon, an ever-present bloody shimmer in the heavens, reminding one and all of the doom Safar had predicted would befall the world. More haunting still was the memory of Safar, the handsome young man with the dazzling blue eyes and sorrowful smile. Everyone wept when they learned that he had been given up for dead. The mourning women scratched their cheeks and tore their hair. The men drank and regaled one another with tales of Safar's many brave deeds, shedding tears as the night grew late. Lord Coraline, the great caravan master who had hired the ships so that they could all escape together, spoke long and memorably about the man who had been his dearest friend. Aboard the airship, the circus performers, among them Beener, the mighty dwarf, and Arlaine, the dragged woman, worked listlessly at their tasks. They did only what was absolutely necessary, feeding the magic engines, adjusting the atmosphere in the twin balloons that held the ship aloft, manning the tiller to keep them on course. Meanwhile, the decks grew shabby, the material of the balloons drab, the galley fires cold. It seemed impossible to them that Safar would no longer be at their side, amazing the circus crowds with his feats of magic. Sadder still were Safar's parents, Kaji and Myrna, who had never imagined, even in their deepest night terrors, that they would outlive their only son. And his sisters mourned Safar so deeply they could not eat or sleep. And if their husbands hadn't begged them to desist for the sake of their children, they surely would.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?